Now, no doubt, they some people that walked in the building today, and on the outside, you trying to fool everybody in this room that you're doing okay. But there's something going on the inside that really ain't okay. And that's what matters. And here's what I want to try to do the next several Sunday mornings. I want to take, as I've heard preachers say many times in my life, if you spend a lot of time in church, you've heard this preached. The whole armor of God. Anybody here ever heard a message preached on the whole armor of God? Would you raise your hand and say you heard that before? Okay, but here's what I want to do. I want to quit. I don't want to give you something that you go, wow, that's a great sermon. I want us to get a hold of it. And I want us to put it into action. And I'm going to prove to you through this text, there has never been a more important day than today for you to put on the whole armor of God. You're facing things on the inside that worldly things and fleshly things and physical things won't fix. We're in the middle of a spiritual warfare. And maybe you've come in this building today, and like I said, I'm just trying to be real with you, slow down and kind of dig into this. Maybe you've got something that you're upset with somebody about. And maybe there's something between you and some other person right now. Maybe it's been there a long period of time. Maybe it just came up. And maybe there's some contention there. Okay? Dalton preached Wednesday night on what time it is. And one point number two is it's time to grow up. And Paul went to the church of Corinth and he said, you're acting like a bunch of babies because there's contention among you. And if we want to grow spiritually, are you following me? We're going to have to get that contention out. It has no place in the things of God. But there's a spiritual warfare that's going on in our lives. If you're born again this morning, you were born again because you was born to win. And you're on the winning side, and we've been given the formula of how to do it. But like we'll read again in just a few minutes in Luke chapter 22, Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, Satan hath desired you to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Aren't you glad to know God prayed for you? So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do as we work through this. First and foremost today, I'm going to talk about our adversary. I want to deal with what we're really up against. You're not against the person across the aisle from you. You're not against the person down the road who don't believe in God. It's not too, the devil has tried to blind us and make us feel that there's all these different competitions and battles going on and it's man versus man, but that is just not so. There are two types of people in this world. There are your brethren, if you are born again, or there is your work field to work in that need to hear about Jesus Christ. I don't care if you like them or if you don't like them. If they're lost, they need to hear about Jesus, and it's your responsibility to tell them. And we're not in a battle between two men. We're in a spiritual warfare right now against things greater and more powerful than you can handle on your own. You are no match for the devil. I heard a preacher preach one time. His name's Ed Ballou. You ever heard of Ed Ballou before? He was preaching a message on, I can't remember the name of that message. Scared to Death was the title of the message. And there were four things he was scared to death of, and one of them was the seat, the judgment seat. One of them was sin. One of them was self. The shelf, God put him on the shelf. It was a great message. But he made a mention when he was a young preacher that he got real fired up and everybody was amening and he was preaching. And he got up there and he said, come on, devil. And kept preaching. And this season, saint of God, older man, took him afterwards and said, I want you to walk off with me. I want to talk to you. He said, I thought, boy, he's about to tell me how good I did and great and everything. He thought he preached so well. And he got him off, way off in the woods where it was just them two. And he said, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard behind the pulpit in my life. He said, if the devil had come on, you couldn't have handled it. And I got news for you this morning. You're in a warfare that if you don't have God's help, you can't handle it. And maybe there's some people in here right now that you think you're having a warfare with another person, but I'm going to prove to you by God's word, the devil's right in the middle, just a meddling. And the reason you can't get through this is because you're trying to do it on your own. We need God this morning.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 6, start in verse 10. Here's what I'd ask of you, because it's going to take several weeks to get through this. I want you to read what we read this morning, the text we read this morning, once a day, every day, for the next several weeks. The best way to understand what God wants for you to do is to put it into practice. And how can you know what God wants you to do unless you hear from God? Here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith." For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Maybe the reason why you're struggling right now in your life is because you don't have faith that God's going to take care of the situation you're going through. "For without faith, it's impossible to please God." Verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit," notice the capital S, Spirit, the Spirit of God, "which is the Word of God." Verse 18 is left out a lot, and it don't need to be left out. "Praying always." When's the last time you prayed about whatever you're going through? I don't mean talked and act like you did to make yourself feel better. I mean praying, believing that there's a God in heaven that cares about what you're going through. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Josh, would you pray for us this morning? Amen. It's important for us to get a hold of what each of these things are, and they all hold a different spot. And I want you to realize it tells us to put on how much of the armor? The whole armor. You need every single piece of the armor that God will put on you if you're going to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. If you're going to fight against what he's got going on inside your life, you are no match for our adversary. But I got a good promise from God's Word. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. If you're a born-again believer this morning, you can say amen, because you've got a God in heaven living inside your heart who's greater than anything the devil could ever do.
Amen.
You should not fear man. You should not fear the devil, because you've got a God in heaven who made both of them and is in control of both of them. He told us that all things work together for the good for those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And his purpose is for you to put on the whole armor of God. Look in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren." We see here who he's speaking to. You can't put on the whole armor of God if you've never been saved. It's a start. Many times in the letters that Paul writes to the churches, he at the end of it, he has this word phrase, "Finally, my brethren. He leaves them with an ending piece of news that they need. And aren't you glad that God saw fit to put this in His Word and give it to you and I? He said, finally, my brethren. We see who He's speaking to. And He's speaking to born-again believers. He's not just speaking to preachers. He's not just speaking to evangelists. He said, all the brethren, if you are saved, you need the whole armor of God. I got better news. If you're saved, you can have the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm glad that I don't have to do this thing on my own. I'm glad that I have God's armor. This is something that we are to be. It says, be strong in the Lord. It's something that we are to become. It's something that we can hold on ourselves and keep and know that you are never in this fight alone. You are within yourself. You do not have what it takes to win. We're in the middle of a war. Paul also told us in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. You're in the middle of a fight, but it's a good fight because you're going to win. But here's something we got to get a hold of this morning. It's okay through life if you start wrong and finish right. You say, what do you mean? I believe in the saying that you can never go right going wrong. But I believe every person in this room was an offspring of Adam, and we were all born sinners. We did not become a sinner when we sinned. We became a sinner when we were born. We sinned because we were a sinner. We were born laden with iniquity and sin. And we were born wrong. But one day Jesus came by my way. And I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart that He would save my soul from my sin. And He did. I started off wrong, but I'm going to finish right. And in your walk with the Lord, you start by being born again. And then there is a progression in growth with the Lord. And every once in a while, you can veer off. But boy, you need to find your way back. I want to finish well. Anybody can start a race, but not everybody will finish the race. We have an advocate with the Father. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ is our advocate. In His strength, we can go with Him. I mentioned it earlier in Luke 22, verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And this next verse, you can hang on to this. You should underline this in your Bible and you should keep it in your mind. And this is Jesus speaking to Peter. But I have prayed for thee. Again, we're just being real people this morning. It does me good sometimes to see the disciples mess up. It does me good to know that Peter's standing there with Jesus and still forsook Him. He was standing there looking at Jesus and still got his eyes off of Him because of the wind and began to sink. He was standing there with Jesus and still cut the man's ear off after Jesus had told him this would have to happen. And here was Peter over here warming himself by the world's fire, denying the very knowledge of Jesus Christ 3 times. But God, He said, Peter, you're going to do this, but I prayed for you. We have an advocate. When you get into this battle and you're in the middle of this warfare, before we even speak of our adversary this morning, you need to remember that if you're saved, you have an advocate with the Father. You have a God in heaven that God is faithful. God is in control. He knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. And when you go through something that doesn't make sense, I'm so very glad that if you get thrown into the fire, God will be in the fire with you. That's our God. Not only do I see our advocate, but I see our call to action. This is something that we are to do. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11, put on. You're not going to accidentally fall into the whole armor of God. You're not going to wake up one morning and go, how did this happen? You're not going to find yourself in a low spot and be accidentally dressed the appropriate way spiritually. This is something you're going to intentionally desire, intentionally do. There are 2 things you're going to need for this. You're going to need desire and you're going to need drive. You're going to have to want to put on how much? The whole armor. You need every piece of the armor of God. You cannot do this on your own. You cannot do it with missing one. If I can guarantee you this, if you're missing one piece, that's the one the devil's going to come after. If you think he don't know your thorn in your flesh, you're crazy. And he'll step on it, and he'll go after it, and after it, and after it. I can speak to you, the sins I used to deal with before I was saved, I don't deal with those anymore. I've gotten victory. And most of the physical sin, I've got victory over those. But there still feels like there's those one or two things that are in the mind that continually come up and come up and come up and come up. And I have to be like Paul said, I die daily. It's a daily battle. And you know why? The devil sees weakness and he goes after it. And no doubt what your weakness is this morning, he knows it. And he is going to come after it. And you're going to need the whole armor of God if you want to take on what he's going to put in front of you. Whose armor is it? It's God's. It's not yours. It's not your own power, but it's in his strength. It's in his might. It's in his power. I remember a time when this happened. Y'all remember when David went to fight Goliath, what happened? No one else would do it. They're over on that hill and he's coming out cussing God, cussing all them, Goliath's talking bad about everybody. And all the Christians are hiding in their tents. They're scared to death of the mean government and the mean world. But a little boy shows up. And he says, is there not a cause? Hey, in 2021, you know why we're here right now at 3 o'clock? There's a cause. There's a reason. Is there not a cause? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to see this. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We don't need to put on Saul's armor. We need God's armor. Maybe the reason why you can't get victory over whatever it is you're dealing with is because you keep trying to deal with spiritual things in carnal ways. It will never work. The world's solution is not a solution. It's a patch job. You can drink it away, but you're going to wake up with a hangover. You can take those drugs, but they'll eventually get you. The world's solutions to your problems are finite. There's an end. They're not permanent. But I'm glad that I got a God that works in the everlasting category. He works in the eternal category. David shows up and comes out to the battle. Look at verse 34. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Now, I want you to think this is a little boy. No doubt younger than I am. Everyone that I've talked to believes he's between the age of 12 and 16. All the preachers I've asked and then all the commentators I read believe he's between the age of 12 or 16 years old. There's different reasons why they would come up with that. The fact that you had to be a certain age to fight in the army then and knowing the age of his brothers and knowing how many of them there were that were older than him and that were there. I think the oldest he could have been was 16 years old. And a 16-year-old boy is watching the sheep and a lion and a bear come and he kills them with his bare hand. That wasn't his armor at work. Anybody here want to take on a lion or a bear? Any of y'all grown men? Verse 35. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor. Now, ain't that about the way we do everything else? You just trust the Lord, but take my suggestion. You just trust the Lord, but make sure you do it my way. Hey, make sure you're listening to the Lord and take Him with you, but you should listen to me because I've been around a while. I know what I'm talking about. There's no one in this room who knows anything that God didn't give you. Everything you know, God allowed you to know. Everything you do, God allows you to do. If you ever want to be used of God, you're going to have to humble yourself and realize without God, you are nothing. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. That means he hesitated. Why? He had not proved it. He said, man, this is just a guy's suggestion. This don't feel right. This is something that I'm not sure if this is going to be enough. If it wasn't enough for Saul, why is it going to be enough for me? And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. If you want to put on the whole armor of God, maybe the reason you don't have on the whole armor of God this morning is because you ain't took your own armor off yet. Maybe the reason why you haven't put on what God told you to put on, maybe the reason why you're not doing what God told you to do is because you're still trying to do it your way. You can't do what you need to do. I don't know what every person in this room is going through, but I am super burdened that many, many people have walked through that back door today and look okay on the outside, but on the inside there's a battle going on right now that I don't know about, but God sure does. And maybe the reason you can't get through that battle is because you ain't took off your own armor yet, the world's armor yet, and started doing it God's way. There's two ways to do things. Your way and God's way, which also means the wrong way in the right way. Look what he said in verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He said, you got all the world's army. You've got all the world's armor. You're coming to me. You're way bigger than me. You look scary to me. But guess what? But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. If you won't take off your armor, you're defying the armor of the living God. It tells us in verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You're going to have to let this thing go and quit doing your own and give it to God. You don't quit trying to figure out how to fix this problem and figure out and thinking it's between you and somebody. It ain't between you and somebody else. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ain't that what God said? It's the devil. Look what it says about the devil, though. So I see a call to action. Look here with me, thirdly, verse 11. I see our adversary. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. I see our adversary. Look who it is. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not fighting with other people. We're not fighting with other things. We're fighting with one. He's the father of all lies. He is a liar and the truth is not in him. And he has the wiles. When I look up that word wiles, it's like a devious or cunning strategies used for manipulating or persuading someone to do what you want them to do. Right now, there's somebody, as Tony Hudson would say in this room, that the devil's strumming like a cheap banjo. And he's got in your head, and he's making you think that there's something going on that really ain't there, just so you can't be used of God. I believe that with everything in me. He's got you thinking someone's against you, someone's wronged you, someone's done this. And the reality is, the wiles of the devil are at action. The church went to sleep last year. We were sleeping real bad before, but we really went to sleep. Some still ain't woke up. The devil never took a break. And the wiles of the devil have been real. And our adversary, look what the Bible says about him in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to just take over everything in your life and just encompass everything in your life. And if you keep trying to fight him with your armor, he's going to win. He may not be able to take your soul, but he sure can take your children. He may not be able to take your soul, but he can take your happiness. He may not be able to take your soul, but he can take your peace. He may not be able to take your soul, but he can take your joy. He can hold you back. He can bring you down. He can't take you to hell, but he can keep you from enjoying your way to heaven. He knows where he's going to wind up. He knows what His end will be. He also knows that I'm on the winning side. So He wants my two boys. He wants the happiness in my marriage. He wants the relationship between me and my wife. He wants the relationship between me and my boys. And I can tell you, He's got a target on my back, and He wants me to fall right in front of each of you so the world can look at it and say, look at that pastor fell over there at that church. I'm not going there. And He wants you to fall. He wants you to fail. You're not invited to a place called hell. It was never made for you. People say, I can't believe a God that sent people there. He did everything that needed to be done so you don't have to go. But yet we let the wiles of the devil just slip right in. Because we're still trying to do it our way. We're trying to do it the worldly way. We're trying to do it the logical way. The fact-finding way. I've talked to several people lately about their loved ones, and they've made this comment to me. Multiple people in the church said, my loved one, they believe in science. I said, thank God, me too. I mean, I do. If you don't believe in the rain cycle, I mean, the water cycle, I mean, come on, that's obvious. I believe in science. I just believe God made science. I believe that before time there was a God. You say, where'd God come from? That question really doesn't make sense to me, because in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He made it time, space, and matter in Genesis 1:1. He's not affected by time. He's not finite. You can't grab a hold of that. To ask where did God come from, it isn't a logical question. He made time. I believe in facts. I believe in a God that created science. And I believe that those things are great. But I believe that God's bigger than them. And I believe that if God can make everything, He sure can do it in 6 24-hour periods. Because He said He did. And the devil wants to make that a lie. He wants to make that a lie. For everything God has, the devil has a fake. And he wants you to look at his. But his never, ever, hear me, he never wins. Ever. He doesn't win. He's a loser. He's fat. I heard Doug Rain say this the other day, and I'm with him. He said, if I figure out the devil's against it, I'm for it. Because he's going to lose. I got a God in heaven who's greater than him. If you're saved this morning, say amen. You got a God in heaven greater than our adversary. You have an advocate with the Father. You have a call to action. You have an adversary. You have to be on the lookout. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He's got you duped this morning. I said it. This afternoon, excuse me, whatever time it is. It's 3:49. Whether it was this morning or right now, if you've come in here in this spiritual battle and you've let your joy be taken from you, you've let your peace be taken from you, you've let your happiness be taken from you, and you think it's so-and-so down the street, he's got you duped this morning. And he's just lying to you, and he wants you to be miserable. He wants you to look miserable so that the rest of the world can go, well, they're just as unhappy as I am. Why do I need to go to church 3 times a week? We're getting played. And he's a liar. And we know where he's going to wind up. Go to Revelation 21. You don't have to this morning, but read that today. You'll figure out where he's going. Something else I want us to see here. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I can't say it enough this morning, because this is burdened on my heart. I don't know who's in here that thinks you got to alt with a brother, but the brother ain't the problem. I don't know what you've got going on. I don't know what it is. But you know how I know this happens to us? Do you know how I know and believe there's people walking that back door looking all good this morning, but on the inside dying? Because I've been there. I've walked in, and it's like you could hear the chain behind me, that ball and chain just dragging behind me spiritually, like I'm getting beat up, all the losing every bit. And I'm on my way to heaven, saved by the grace of God. If you're saved this morning, you can't lose. Because you're on the winning side. Why have you let the devil take your joy and make you think so-and-so's done you wrong? So what? You're going to inherit everything. People are people, okay? God's God. He said, be still and know that I'm God. He said, I'm sitting on my throne. He said, everybody down there who could wrong you was just sitting on my footstool. The highest, most powerful individual can't touch. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world? You know, if you have $200 billion and you're dying and going to hell, you ain't got nothing. But I got Jesus living inside my heart. Don't you let the devil play you. We have an adversary. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Now this last part here. Y'all ever heard someone say, oh, they just think they're super spiritual. Oh, you're just more spiritual than I am. Y'all know all spirituality ain't of God. You said, where'd you get that from? Look right here. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. 1 John 4:1, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The devil's going to make it look real good. He's going to make it look real. And I tell you what, there's never been a person that's left this church mad that didn't have a legitimate reason to be mad. But it was just the devil duping them. You know, if you, whoever you are, if you're upset with somebody right now, you probably got a legitimate reason to be upset with them. But forgive them. They're just a person. We all make mistakes. God forgave you, didn't He? Did you sin? He forgave you. What if He held a grudge? Can you imagine if God held grudges? Can you imagine every time you did something wrong towards God, He wouldn't hear your prayer? I'd never get one through. I mean, ever. If God gave up on me when He should have, it would have been a long time ago. I didn't deserve His mercy. I didn't deserve His might. I didn't deserve His advocacy. But He gave it freely. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. Understand that we are not wrestling against people. It's not two sides of the aisle. It's right and it's wrong. And if you're born again, you're on the winning side. And if you're not, you're on the losing side. Lastly, our necessary attention. It's necessary that you put on the whole armor of God. It's need. Hey, Mom, your kids need you to put on the whole armor of God. Hey, Dad, don't you lead your house in the Lord your way. That's what's killing America. That's what's killing our churches. We got all these men. I can say it because I have a wife. I have children. There's a whole bunch of us leading our houses in the Lord, doing it our way. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. We need the whole armor of God. Hey, church member, if the rest of the church had on as much of the armor as you had, what kind of shape would we be in? How are you doing? We didn't come here today just because it's a ritual. We came here today to hear from the Lord, and this is what the Lord has put on my heart. And we need help. We need to do better. We need to get better. We need to improve. And the only way we're going to do it is if we'll quit trying and give it to God. You can't do it. You can't handle all this. But God sure can. Look at verse 13. There's our necessary attention. Wherefore, take unto you, how much of it? The whole armor. Whose armor is it? Of God. That ye may be able. If you don't do this, you won't be able. Okay? That ye may be. If you don't put on the whole armor of God, you're not going to be able to do what? To withstand in the evil day. Go to me with 2 Timothy real quick, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to read, okay? And I want you to listen to what the Bible says about the perilous times, the last days. You just see if you see every single one of them in the day's day and time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says this, know also, that in the last days, perilous, that means dangerous, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfie, it's almost like. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. How many people in here, don't raise your hand, but think in your head, if you've heard the Lord's name taken in vain the last month. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Y'all been to Walmart lately? Seen the kids? All right. Here's America. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. If you can kill your baby and go to sleep at night, that's not natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's a lot of people looking for pleasure today and weren't really planning on going to God's house. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such, turn away. I see every single one of those in America in the day's day and time. And you know what the Bible says about that? It's a dangerous time. We're living in an evil day. We're living in an evil time. Look what else the Bible says in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Doing what? Deceiving and being deceived. You know what's going on right there? That's the wiles of the devil. That's our adversary. Getting in the middle of things, stirring it up and using somebody. And they don't even know. You know that Satan entered into Judas? That's in your Bible. He entered into him. And was behind every bit of that. And was out there tempting God in the wilderness and out there in the garden tempting. I believe it said when he left him in the wilderness, it was just for a season. I believe he tempted him all the way up to the cross. But Jesus lived without sin. We're living in an evil day. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. We're in an evil day. And having done all to stand. Have you done all that you need to stand? Have you let go of it and let God have it? You still trying to figure this thing out? You still trying to do it your way? You still trying to do it on your own? You're no match for the devil. And your way ain't going to work. I can guarantee that whatever it is you're trying to do without God, it's not going to work. You need Him. And He wants to help you worse than you want Him to help you. Aren't you glad we got a God in heaven so we can come boldly to the throne room of grace? Because He's there. Not because you earned it. Because He let you in. You didn't earn salvation. He gave it to you. And this armor, He wants to freely give it to you. We're going to put it on. We have an adversary. But thank God we got an advocate. And we need to fight against that adversary with everything in our body. We've got lost family members who are not going to heaven right now. Every single person in this room, I've asked so many times, I know it. You've got lost family members that are not on their way to heaven right now. And you are in the middle of a warfare. And you need to get busy in the middle of that war. You need to fight a good fight. There are things for, hey, invite somebody. Get them under the sound of the gospel. That's what the old timers would say. I've heard that over and over in my life behind the pulpit. Get them under the sound of the gospel. I don't compel them to come in. Whatever. Buy them lunch. I'll buy them lunch. I don't care. That whole thing, we shouldn't bring them in with hot dogs. We shouldn't keep them with hot dogs. But I sure will bring them in with a hot dog. Whatever it takes to get them in the house of God, I'm for it. I'm more concerned about what happens when they get here than I am about how we got them here. And we all need to put on the whole armor of God. I hope that you can leave here believing, realizing, and getting help that whatever it is you're dealing with, even if it looks right on the outside, and if you can fake it all you want, you ain't going to fake it till you make it because you won't make it faking it. You need help. And we got a God in heaven that wants to help you. Mama, if you'll come to the piano, everybody stand to your feet. I'm done this morning. I want to give you